Creator Chat is brought to you in part by Audible. Audible is, of course, the premier audiobook service, perfect for folks who want their books read to them. Thousands and thousands of titles to choose from in all genres, sci-fi, fantasy, biographies, history, thrillers, mysteries, and more. We've got a great offer for listeners on this podcast, 2 free audiobooks when you sign up. And those books are yours to keep even if you decide to cancel your Audible subscription, which is $14.95 a month and gives you a free book every month of your choosing, as well as some other fun perks. Membership has its privileges. Hit up bit.ly/geekbookclub to start your free trial and get those 2 free books on lock. Once again, bit.ly/geekbookclub. And now, let's get into the show. Welcome to another Creator Chat on the SDGQA podcast channel, an ongoing series of interviews where we get to hear from folks making cool things on the internet. One more follow-up podcast for your listening pleasure. My good friend TK Bay is back. My first interview for this Creator Chat series, TK returns to chat about some of the changes he's made producing content, moving on from XDA to focus on his own channels, and how the monetization game has changed looking at YouTube and Amazon. And we are live. TK Bay, thank you so much for coming back on another Creator Chat.
Anytime, you know that. You just got to give me a buzz and I'll be running. You know, anytime to be able to support the community and be part of the conversation.
So you are literally coming back to this podcast 100 episodes later. You were episode 158, wow. And you're coming back. I mean, you were episode 58, and now you're coming back.
I was going to say, yeah,
100 episodes later. So I'm really excited. You were my first proper Creator Chat. I've been following up. Last week we talked to Adam Dowd. The week before that we talked to Enabong, and I'm really glad our schedules kind of lined up so that you could also make your reappearance on
the
Creator
show.
Chat.
Exactly. Thank you. Well, happy to be back and. You know, a lot of things going on between us with all the stuff going on, but happy to we're able to work out our schedule a little bit better this way, actually, if you think about it, more than what we've had when we had an in-person meeting, because that could just never work.
I don't know what it is, but apparently, like, you can't regularly put 2 tech reviewers in the same room at the same time.
No, not. I mean, we try, and then sadly, our ramen meetings have also kind of taken a halt for a while. So
yeah, hopefully we'll be figuring out what the new normal is soon, and we can get back to some of those. We saw family for the first time about a week ago.
Good.
And during all of the pandemic, but that's actually where I like to start these off. You know, making sure you and your family, you're happy, you're healthy, everyone's doing all right.
We are, yes. Thankfully, it's been a challenge. I have to say, at the beginning, it was kind of interesting, you know, oh yeah, we're home all the time, everything's cool. And, you know, then you go through the different phases of the adjustments and, you know, suddenly the office is, I'm in the office all the time now, you know, I don't have that day job, you know, YouTube life kind of thing. Now everything is here. It's taken some adjustment and I've gone through a couple of ups and downs. But, you know, I'm getting through it. Let's put it that way. It's getting better. Although now kind of a little bit more cautious again with the way things are going on with opening, but it's interesting. Yeah. We went to the beach the first time, a couple of weeks ago, we went also to the beach, and last weekend we went to Long Beach, past the aquarium. There's a stretch of the beach for some reason that is just very non-popular with people. It's weird. Like, it doesn't get congested.
Don't say where it is. We'll keep
so
that private.
So it's weird. Yeah, we go there. So we went, we played. Omar had fun. We did a little bit of fishing off the water there and walked around. Actually posted a picture of that little crab that I saw on Instagram there from there. And it was just nice. So we're getting better. We'll have to see how things go from now on. And at least for me, even with day job, it looks like I'm going to be home for some time. So even if, even with things kind of going back the way they are, so I have to, yeah, adjust to that part. The fact that I'm wearing my pajama pants right now. I know, just it.
Me too. But I'm really glad to hear that more companies are taking these types of employee concerns seriously. And then also it's not a matter of if we get back or what, you know, like, can we get back to what was normal? It's going to be, how do we figure out what the new normal is going to be?
Exactly.
And so mm-hmm. at least we're starting to see some baby steps. Same thing. We took Lex out to the beach a couple of weeks back and it was huge. I mean, just getting out of our little neighborhood where we've been kind of walking around the block over and over and over again. So I'm glad to hear that you and yours have been able to kind of spread out a little too.
A little bit. Yeah. And like I said, it's, you could only do the walk around the neighborhood so many times before you're like, again, really?
Yeah.
But no, it's good. And then, of course, with the current situation, we've been working kind of in our favor, where we're getting more hardware without having to go to too many things. I'm not complaining. Just kind of thing. I'm very happy with that. And the reality is, I think hopefully we can all learn something in the near future that, you know, it doesn't have to all be a shindig that, you know, 1,000 people have to go somewhere just to make an announcement. But I think companies are starting to feel the challenge on how to do virtual over in person. So we're seeing more. I mean, we saw Samsung, you know, jump on that. I think Oppo was on that recently with the Find X2 Pro in India. And so I'm glad. We're seeing some good positive changes come out of this. And we're learning that the technology that we have can help us in different ways, not just to be outside.
I mean, I've mentioned this for people listening to the podcast. I'm definitely repeating myself here, but especially in our line of work, when we're talking about mm-hmm. reviewing consumer electronics and hitting these trade shows and going hands-on and sharing these kinds of experiences, for as crazy scary as this pandemic has been, it's also been this incredible opportunity to really drive the usage. Mm-hmm. Like, how many of these devices we're now really testing to see if they can live up to these manufacturers' claim. It's been a very rare opportunity for us to kind of put our opinions, our money where our mouths have been. Do these things really live up to what we thought they could do? Because people are leaning on their tech harder than ever.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I feel like at least, you know, we are appreciating what we have, and we're also noticing where there's some concerns. So we could definitely learn from this as a moving forward. And again, that's the intention of all of this hardware. It was intended to be there to connect us with the world when we need it. And there was a massive hit for it. Like, you know, home internet connections. We were talking about that. You know, exactly. we get these massive, like, oh, you can download 400 megabits down. And then I try to do a live stream that takes barely any up. And I'm like, yeah.
Nope.
Nope. Nope. Sorry, my friend. And then you look at the business packages. But anyways, that's a conversation.
I want to get into that a little bit. I mean, 100 episodes of my podcast ago, when you came on, but before all of this pandemic stuff came crashing down, you were already in the middle of some pretty significant changes to your content production, your relationships with other outlets. And really, it was, you know, I was talking to Enabong. He was pivoting more into gaming coverage. I was talking to Adam, where his previous podcasts had been shut down. So he really took the bull by the horns and came up with his own show. And maybe not as dramatic for what you've been doing. You've also made a bit of a shift in the balance between your work with XDA and then also creating content for your own channel. So I'd like to start off there. You haven't walked away from XDA. You still made a few videos for them over the last couple months, but
I've gone to the point where I realized, well, so I'll say that now, obviously, because people are going to hear this later. I realized that what Juan was saying at the beginning was right. It just took me a while to circle back to that. You know what I'm saying? Like, when somebody tells you something and then a few months later, you're like, yeah, that kind of made sense. It was just too much. I had too many things on my plate. I was running two channels that were personal channels. I was also running the XDA channel, trying to manage the best way to describe it, the chaos that is how to manage three different things at the same time, and still have a day job and still be part of a family. You know, I'm talking all of that extra stuff, you know, for that extra time that we have during the day.
All the extra time, all the leisure time that we've got.
Where I'm watching TV, That's all I'm doing.
Just kicking
now.
Back and then, sipping on a mint julep with all the time. Exactly. In
the world. No. I did make a big shift, and it was earlier this year where I did quite a few changes. Actually, I went through a redesign on the channel, so that was a big change for me. The whole setup that you guys are seeing me on right now, with the live streaming and the audio, obviously with your help, of course, that was a big thing that I realized that for me to kind of jumpstart that move, I couldn't just keep things as they were and just take that one piece out. I had to change who I was. So bring in the TK Bay that people know, and put that front and center and take a back seat. You know, and realistically what I did with XDA, I kind of had a conversation. I said, I just, at this point, I feel like I'm not contributing and I'm not able to provide the level of support that you want from me.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of drove me to make that decision is the, if I'm going to do something and I'm going to help out with somebody, I don't want to help out at 20% and say, take the credit for 100.
Right.
That's not what I want. I'd rather do, you know, a good job at the things that I'm able to do when I can focus more on my, you know, my English channel is always going to be my primary source of focus. That's always been that way. XDA kind of went parallel to that. And then when I started doing the Arabic channel, that kind of just started kind of shifting. So I stepped back. Yeah. I no longer am a manager there. I'm no longer, you know, I don't, you know, contribute to the stories of how things are going there. I do seem to have every once in a while, I still get some contacts through XDA that I've worked with in the past that it's hard for me to say, you know, well, you know, how do we work? But it seems like I'm forever going to be the Honor/Huawei guy at XDA. I can't get rid of that. It's a weird, you know, like I built that for so long that those type of conversations naturally gravitate to me.
Mm-hmm. But I have to say, I mean, like you've been working with a number of other manufacturers and stuff too, where
that's where it changed.
Striking out on your own, it didn't
is not as scary anymore.
Well, yeah, you had established these relationships, and in true good PR fashion, the people that were doing work with TK at XDA seemed to understand that they were still doing work with TK Bay, not at XDA, which all of that rhymes. So it should be really easy for them to keep up with you.
Totally. You have no idea how many people said TK Bay XDA at CES this year. So many times. But I have been able to parlay a few of those conversations over. And I feel like that's partially because they trust the person. It's that, you know, they have that relationship with, obviously they've worked with me in the past. They know the type of work and they understand that there is, you know, I value their relationship and that's the thing. So, you know, OnePlus has been one of them. Oppo has also kind of been one of them. So those are direct conversations that I did not have a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And Xiaomi's been a lot of, I don't know if I mentioned to you. So the Poco F2 Pro is coming in the mail.
Nice.
And then, you know, we're playing around a little bit with the Black Shark 3. That's a great phone for gaming. I may be getting the Black Shark 3 Pro. If that comes around, we'll do the circles with you on that. Cause that takes what you have to the next level.
Right on.
And then, luckily it's been opening up. Edibon has been also a lot of inspiration, a lot of good guidance. I reach out to him and I reach to Saf as well, the Super Saf. And I've had also built up a good community around me, which I didn't realize that again, when I was with you last year on the creator talk, it takes time, it takes perseverance, and it takes a lot of work.
Well,
but we're getting there and we're moving forward with that. Yeah.
And it's one of those things. I mean, like, I think I kind of took that transition for granted when I was jumping into Pocket Now and then jumping out of Pocket Now was, even when you're under another outlet's umbrella for this kind of coverage, it's like, you really do kind of build your own little community internally. And it's kind of hard to see from the, when you're kind of deep in it, you know, I've got these deadlines to meet and I've got to make sure I'm managing this and I've got to be an editor and a producer and like a content distribution platform all by myself.
All of it. Yep.
Yeah. It's kind of easy to lose sight of, if I make a transition, that means I'm going to be starting from scratch or I'm going to be invisible or I need this or I need that. What kind of spurred, because you were talking about doing your own channel and also bringing on the Arabic speaking channel.
Yeah.
How did that transition manage as you were looking at XDA? Because I know you, and I'm aware, like, I don't want to be at Pocket now if I'm making, like, garbage videos. It's just, I'm not interested in doing that. So
I only want to do things I'm passionate about.
So you're making that transition. How did you kind of come to this timetable, or how did you come to this conclusion where, you know, I'm sure the global pandemic was immediately on your radar for, no, I should make my own YouTube channel now. I should focus on my own YouTube channel now.
There's a few pieces that I need to kind of throw as far as historical. So the channel itself, the TK Bay channel, started right around the time I started at XDA. Mm-hmm. And it was because I got a battery pack for a Galaxy S phone. I can't remember, but if you find the video, if you guys are watching, find the video on YouTube, it's, it's there. And I needed to upload it to a channel. So I put it up on YouTube and I kind of ignored the TK Bay channel for quite a while. So I would just generate a video here and there, nothing big. And then surprisingly around, it was like a few years ago, maybe about 3 or 4 years ago, almost 5 years ago, there was a management change at XDA where they wanted to pivot the way the channel was working. They wanted different things. The long story short is a few creators left. I was one of the few ones that were left in there. And then I took about a 6 months sabbatical. I kind of left. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I had to focus on my channel. It was kind of like you either swim or you sink, right? So it's either I wanted to be in this realm or I could have just called it, closed shop and went home and nobody would have ever known any different. And
we
that 6 months
known.
Was, well, you know, and it was, known. And it was roughly around the time, like right before you and I first officially met, because I've known of your work. I've been a great fan of, obviously, with Pocket Now stuff. But that 6 months was a big revelation for me. I realized that the more work I put into this channel, the more I got into it, the more people were joining the conversation, the more people were enjoying the content. And that helped start the initial push there. And at that point, that solidified that if when XDA did come back and wanted to discuss, you know, hey, can we get you back on and work with us and so on? We apologize for certain things going on. I needed to make sure that they understood that it would always be them and this. It's a parallel path. It would never be me just XDA as it was before. And that worked out for me for a while. And I say that because, as you can imagine, as time goes on, as you start it taking on more bigger projects, more involved projects, travel became a thing for me, which I didn't really, I think it was going to be a thing. I was traveling more like the last 3 years, and this year obviously doesn't hold, but I mean, last few years have been every other month or so, you're like, where's TK going?
I want to say for 2019, you were on a trip a month, if I'm not mistaken.
And the months that I didn't have a trip, I felt like I was missing something. It's weird. I got to the point where like, what's going, did I miss a trip? You know,
was I supposed to be at the airport? What's going on?
Which country am I supposed to be in this week? And it was fun, but it, you know, it took a lot of toll. I have to appreciate, you know, my wife and my son and the family also staying in there and hanging in there with me, to, with the fact that it seems like I'm going on these all extravagant vacations and stuff. And I'm like, it's a lot of work on our end. This is a different point of reference. You know, it's like what you've seen those, those memes on Instagram where they show you, it's like what your parents think you're doing, what your friends think you're doing, what your teachers think they're doing, but what you're really doing. You know, you're like, you're actually, it's like you're exhausted. and then about a year ago at IO, I had a conversation with an Arabic creator. His name is Khalifa, he goes by Mr. Q. He's part of a channel called Rakami TV. It's an Arabic. It's a Qatari. It's based in Qatar, in the Middle East. And he looked at me and he's like, "Dude, you speak Arabic. Why don't you have an Arabic channel?" I'm like, you know, like when you get hit with that, you're like, I don't know. I never thought of it. And he said, "You are in." And the way he laid it out to me, he said, "Look, you're a content creator. You're an influencer, blah, blah, insert tag here, but you live in the US. All of us that speak Arabic live in Arabic countries, which generally, from a tech standpoint, generally are like a step behind. And when I say that is that they embargo dates of release certain things. They generally will do US, Europe, then Middle East, and it always goes in that order.
Right.
And he said, you have access to hardware that you could actually cover and get that position. So I said, sure, the OnePlus 7 Pro, that was my kickoff. That video alone got me monetization, got me enough subscribers in 1 month from a channel starting on YouTube during the time where everybody was like, you know, YouTube is making it too hard for a... It was totally during that time. And I was like, I don't think I would ever make it, because I was like, I made a couple of videos, but that one video alone, I was like 276,000 views, made it so that now I understand that, yes, I am TK and I am Tariq Bey. Mm-hmm. Arabic and English coverage from one creator. And I actually now parlay that to also to a lot of the companies I work with. I said, you're not getting one creator here. You're getting two. Because I can do something that most no other creator in the US can do. I can cover the Middle East and the US at the same time. But I also cover Europe because of the English video. So exactly. English covers US. So the spread or the conversation for me is more valuable. And at the end of 2019, where everything was just kind of culminating, I was getting stressed. And you and I have had these conversations. I've burnt out a few times.
Yeah.
There was a few times where I just wanted to uninstall all social media applications, turn off my phone, and just disappear. Mm-hmm. And CES and Unpacked, I had a couple of, I'm going to try to be nice, a couple of conversations with some people that made me understand and realize how much I am valued at a certain organization.
Mm-hmm.
And how they view me as where I am. And that was the last straw. It's when I'm not appreciated. When you don't understand what I'm doing for you for the years that I've put it in for you. And I realized that me running the channel was just it's not doing what it's needed. They don't appreciate what I'm doing there. And I'm just putting in all these hours for no reason. I was single-handedly driving the YouTube side, which should not be the case. I should be getting some support. It's been a year and a half of doing it. And at that point, I called in and I just said, you know, I'd like to step back. I don't think this is for me. You know, we could try to do maybe one-off projects every once in a while. I don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
You have such a massive part of my library, online library anyways. It's not like I can disappear from XDA.
Right.
And everybody knows me as XDA, which is still, I need to work on that part.
Oh, I think that perception is changing, but it does seem to
quite
me,
a bit.
It's one of those conversations I've been having with a number of content creators where it's been exceedingly difficult to properly educate an audience. Like, how much work really goes into this stuff? I mean, the audience demands are getting more and more refined. You know, there's an expectation of higher and higher quality content.
Exactly.
You know, constant updates, you know, interaction, you know, personal interaction on different social media platforms. I don't feel like content creators always have the best tools to properly convey, you know, hey, this is what's going on. This is how much work it takes, without going to, like, you know, Linus having a burnout video, you know, for Linus Tech Tips. And we want to avoid taking it to anything dramatic, but at the same time, it still is like, I need to let you guys know. I mean, like, when I am not on camera, there's a million other things that I'm trying to take care of. It would be disappointing to me if the editors or the producers I was working with at another media publication also took that work similarly for granted as an uneducated audience member might. I feel like that would be a big motivation for me to re-examine my relationship with that publication.
Exactly. And it's at the end of the day, you need to keep it enjoyable and understand that I started this as a hobby.
Right.
And I not that I don't ever want to call it a job, but I don't want to call it a job because I don't want that title to kind of start doing the whole, it's a job. So I want to have fun with it as a hobby, the way we have fun with, you know, collecting, you know, Dragon Ball stuff, enjoying the manga, all of that stuff. I want to keep it enjoyable. So, and for that conversation to continue, I needed to do that separation. So I did that at the end of February. I think it was at middle of February, sorry, not even end of February. I put in my, you know, I'm sorry, I understand. And, you know, and then the channel kind of went on to somebody else to manage it. And then every once in a while, there'll be a video that I just, you know, I put together. And it's, to me, I think those are going to be few and far apart. But at this point, I think I like that for one thing, I started doing podcasts, which I didn't
think
I was going to be doing.
I'm so glad that was, you guys came back to your Saturday stream. That makes me
so glad. It was totally like now I wake up on Saturdays. I feel like if I don't go to do the podcast, I feel weird. You know, like when you have that muscle memory, when you're like, you wake up, okay, I got to go do my run real quick before. Nope. Saturday mornings are for me are literally Saturday mornings with tech. I need to work that. You know, we go for a walk with the family before the podcast. So for me, it's like in my mind, I'm like running. What are we talking about today? How's the thumbnail? Who do we talk?
Beautiful.
So for me, that plus the Amazon live stream, which is also a big thing that changed. So for me, there's a lot of things that changed for me from 2018. Mm-hmm. 2020 has its own challenges, has its own ups and downs. Obviously, there's a whole bunch of things. 2020 is a crazy year. Mm-hmm. But it's also a great year for us to learn how to adapt into a different scenarios, different challenges in life. That, you know, things that we just didn't really, we're never taught how to deal with as children. We didn't have this throughout the experience. I remember certain things about my childhood. I mean, I as you know, I was born and raised in Lebanon before I came here as when I was 17. So for me, I had a good part of my childhood in a very uncertain environment, a lot of crazy things going on. And even that didn't prepare me to what was going on with having a wife and a child and sitting at home and having to manage a life, a day job, lifetime, all that stuff. So for me, the live streams are actually very therapeutic. I see them as hanging out with friends and we're chit-chatting and talking tech. And literally, dude, 2.5 hours are like that.
They fly by.
They fly.
Yeah.
Every time. It's like when you and I talk, but, you know, with like a whole bunch of other guys just hanging in there. You know, and you have like Matt jumping in there, Aditya's jumping in there, you know, and Goran Petrovic is in for that. It's like a whole bunch of people are in there. And then of course, Steve is in there as well. So to me, it's more about hanging out with the guys. And again, a lot of it has to do with, you know, your, I think just your approach to you know, YouTubing or even just your approach to tech. It's a great way to appreciate that you don't really let the little things kind of hang with you. You just enjoy it. Be there in the moment, hang out, and you've built a great community around you, which I'm very happy to be part of as well, as you know, always supporting the SGGQA Mondays as well as those live streams.
The check is in the mail.
thank you. Thank you, please. But, you know, it's one of those, it truly is because I've been a fan of your work ever since, you know, Pocket Now, the deep dives, the, you know, the creepy tunnel, all the good stuff. Or you're over the bridge over the 101, pictures.
I miss that landmark. I need to get all of these phones back. And now I'm going to reshoot with the V60 and the Xperia and all these other.
Yeah. Just go back there for like, and I find, so for me, it's, it's great that we're able to connect. I value the fact that it is a good way. Like if I am feeling really, really way down, I feel comfortable enough to call and say, hey, you know what? I'm dealing with this like weirdest stuff. Like I don't know how to get it working. And like the audio setup for the system here, I'm not an audio guy. I'm not going to lie. The beginning part of my channel on YouTube, it was crazy when it came to audio. Static galore. This setup with the Focusrite is like, I don't have to touch it. I turn on a button and I'm there.
Yeah, it's nice.
Everybody loves it. And like I said, if I was able to, if there was any way this was a sponsored thing with the Atom Mini from Blackmagic, I would have totally got you in with them. But I literally bought my own because I was looking for a solution that does that seamless. And now my entire setup is good because of what you helped me with. So I appreciate that. So, yeah.
Hey, podcast listeners, I work really hard to find mutually beneficial ways to support production on my various distribution platforms. Instead of just running ads on this podcast and hoping they don't annoy you, I want to find products or services that you really will get something out of and that can help fund my production. While I do talk about some of those items in ads throughout this podcast, I've never created one easy-to-view master list of my current partnerships until now. Sorry, I couldn't help myself. If you'd like to help contribute, support production of this podcast and my various videos and reviews, head on over to somegadgetguy.com. At the top, there's going to be a link for Support Some Gadget Guy, and you can see what my current partnerships are. At the time this podcast was recorded, in addition to my Patreon, we can hook you up with a $10 voucher for shopping a new OnePlus, save 20% on some One More headphones,
Sign you up for Google Fi service, Amazon affiliate links, Audible, or you can grab a Mega Pickle coffee mug of your very own. Savory, delicious Mega Pickles. Head on over to SomeGadgetGuy.com, support banner on the top right-hand side of my website, and hopefully you find something cool, something you like, while also kicking me a little extra scratch.
Yeah, I'm going to have to rip off that you know, video solution that you got, because my audio game's pretty strong, but I'm in the middle of a broadcast, like, trying to futz with software to switch video inputs. It's not as clean. I want it to be clean.
It is, but, you know, it was fun. So the stream that we saw this morning with the Velvet option, you know, that unboxing, you know, it's unique. It is raw. It's opening the box. The excitement is, you know, it's a kid in a candy store. It's kid on Christmas morning, you know, opening up all the boxes. You see the excitement on your face, and that's the beauty of it. Once you see that, don't worry about the details. But yeah, no, I am very, very happy with Blackmagic's approach to the mid-tier prosumer consumer option here, and that we don't have to spend $4,000 on a switchboard. Absolutely. So for me, that and the Focusrite, that got my audio set up, and I'm running everything with one cable into my laptop, and my laptop is the focus center here. And my desktop sits behind
That's
me,
beautiful.
But so it is. Yeah. No,
it's, I mean, good. I want to try and claim any kind of credit for it, but it really has been one of the most amazing organic, communities that I think I've ever been a part of. You know, I feel like, because your channel sort of dovetailing with your beginnings over at XDA probably thrust you into a larger community of people. And I kind of felt like, you know, when I jumped over to Pocket Now, we did not do a very good job of onboarding me. You know, Michael Fisher was leaving. Okay. Here's this new guy. I have a completely different style of review.
It is. Yeah. And, but it's, you had more of the deep dive, your effort. Yeah, definitely.
And you know, like, you know, nuts and bolts, whatever, less of a storyteller. I'm not a storyteller like Michael Fisher is. And I feel like we didn't, it was a disservice to Pocket Now. It was a disservice to the Pocket Now audience. It put me in a more difficult position trying to replace this great storyteller with a very different tone of commentary. Coming out of that, it wasn't with any grand design. It was really just, I have a few people that have been following me. These are some guys that I love having conversations with, guys and gals now that I love having conversations with. And it kind of grew on its own. So, you know, like when we're popping in and out of that Discord, or when we're jumping on each other's live streams, or seeing how people who were just passive viewers before are now pairing off and making their own channels,
their
and
own
live streams.
Stream. Exactly.
Content.
Yeah. Sundays at one.
It's becoming its own organic amoeba of tech conversation, which now that I think about it, is like, that's always something that I've wanted, was to be a part of enabling broader conversations. But if you had told me this is what you're going to make 3 years ago, I would have failed. You know, like if I had tried to make this, it would have absolutely fallen on its face.
Yeah, no, it is. And I love also the subreddit that you built up as well. The Glowing Rectangles.
Baby steps.
Is a great.
Yeah.
It is. And it's a great community of, again, it's just self-driving, self-motivating, self-building. And I feel like I said, that's why it's the podcasts every Saturday are so therapeutic for me. It literally is. I feel like I'm hanging out with the guys. That's all it is. It's like hanging out with the guys for a couple of hours. We talk about tech. We'll talk about what's going on. And then, you know, and then we'll circle back. We'll talk again on Monday with you, and then we'll circle back again on Fridays. And then whenever there's a couple of, you know, cool devices coming out, we'll do a couple of, you know, videos and stuff.
Yeah.
So those things for me keep it engaged, keep it going, keep it conversational. And I think for me, I can never forget or even not even acknowledge the fact that XDA is a very big part of where I am
now.
For
reals. Yeah.
Without them, I would have never started on YouTube. Without them, I would not have been. Heck, I wouldn't have even met you if you think about it realistically, because we were at an honor event, which is something that is obviously, you know, if you guys are Honor 8, I think it was a San Francisco thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we met up for the first time, and then, you know, it's the opportunity. And even though for the most part, I think the entire tech community, or even the tech reporting and, you know, enthusiasts, or everybody knows me as XD, and I think that's partially what's not the biggest portion of my channel. It still is very much into modding, Android development, how to make things, how to get the most out of your device.
Well, actually, if you don't mind me jumping in, that's actually the perfect segue. What I really wanted to follow up on. So you were running the YouTube channel for XDA, but I'm sure there were expectations as to how XDA's tone should be accomplished, right? There's an XDA idea. What has that looked like as you've now, the vast majority of your tech time is now spent on your own projects. Has that changed or has that influenced your production? Like, are there different things you're accomplishing now that wouldn't have been a part of the XDA commentary that are now much more important to TK Bay?
So from my point of reference, as far as just the production style, it was part of that whole shift. I realized that at the beginning of the year, I needed to shift the way I produce things, the way the content was made. But the biggest thing that I liked about it is the ability of being able actually to go back and talk about hardware that I haven't been able to. Like, I did the gaming video on the Xperia on the Mark II, but I apparently didn't give enough time for the HS power control option. At XDA, I wouldn't have been able to put out another video for that two days, a day later or so. My channel followed it. The fact that I can put, four videos in a row, roughly talking Xperia, because I'm just very passionate about it for that time, is something that I wouldn't be able to do. Because with XDA, you generally will do maybe one, two at the most if you're able to push it, but they would still have to be spaced. So managing it at the XDA level for me has always been at a publication level, right? Because you're thinking about, timing, press, article relations, so on. There's a whole lot of things that go into it. And of course, there's a whole bunch of different channels. You have to get approvals and go through and talk to people to get to, because there's the YouTube side, and then there's the portal side, or the the website portion of it. And I'm just happy that I don't. I mean, it's so much simpler. Let's put it that way.
I would say
of command is much shorter.
It's like the buck starts and stops here.
The idea starts and it becomes a video in 2 seconds. Yes.
Even just down into like logistics, we would jump through all these hoops to try and say like, well, Jules needs this phone for a week to do this, but then I need to get it over to Jaime, but then I need it for a couple days if I'm going to do an audio review. And then Tony wants to play with it. Even if he's not going to write an article, he just wants to play with it. I would imagine that even something like that drastically reduces the amount of time you spend not producing content.
And so for me with XDA, with XDA, the difference with us was a little bit smaller. We were focused in different areas. The YouTube side on XDA has kind of shrunk down a lot. There's been basically, it was two US creators and there are basically still two. And then we had another new fellow named Sandeep from India that was the other creator. But hardware transfer between us, it was pretty much focused between myself and Max. That was it with XDA. So if I got something, and let's say we needed to do a video, like I think was it the Red Magic 3 or the 3S, I kind of, during the time last year, kind of focused it. Max was my gaming guy. I send him the phones, he does the videos. He was also kind of the LG guy over on XDA, but that was from the website side. That didn't come to me. So there was that type of, you're right. Yeah, one-shot curatium. So when I got the 3S from Nubia, I had to do a quick hands-on video, but then I lost the phone for 3 weeks, 3 to 4 weeks.
Yeah.
I couldn't do any more coverage on it. But again, Max was producing the content for XDA. So it worked for XDA, but for me as a creator, where I've developed that relationship with Nubia and I've worked with them, by the time I got the phone back, the phone was just not in a conversation anymore. So I'm like, okay, we'll move on to the next one. Don't have to do that with on my end. That's one of the really nice ones, and I am able to start open up more conversations. Like I said, I'm very happy that the Xiaomi conversation is becoming more. That it actually is a conversation. Sorry, take that back. Because last year I can say they didn't want to even. They were like, "Sorry, we'll let you know when we have something, how things are going." But now
when they tell you you're on the list, but you're not.
And I understand they're trying to be nice.
Exactly.
They're trying to. Although, it's a PC answer, right? Yeah.
I mean, I'm playing this one a little close to the vest because there might be something I'm going to be on embargo for. But I had the most refreshing conversation with a PR rep, where I was like, "Hey, I do this, and I'd love to cover this product." And the woman just came right back and said, you are not the kind of content that we're looking for this type of conversation. But, and then she like describes some other things that they're going to be working on. And like, how much more refreshing that is.
Then, you know, absolutely,
like,
yeah.
I'll send, you know, like a major manufacturer, like a Samsung PR person, is like, okay, yeah, we'll totally put you on the list. You know, just don't lie. Just tell me it's not going to happen, and I'm going to respect you so much more than
there's a lot to be said. Game. Yeah, exactly. And because we see it so often, I think that's what it is. On their end, when they don't see it, because they're obviously not working with a lot of other PRs, they're working directly with you know creators and so on. So to me, it's. I find it very refreshing, but I feel like, honestly, some conversations, if it's meant to be, it will be, if it's going to happen. And I feel like if it doesn't happen, you may feel a little bit off about it now, but believe it or not, there's another bigger thing that you can work on. And I think that's really what it is. When we last talked about a year ago, and even with other conversations offline, I told you, I didn't know, I was very... very anxious about, like, you know, if I do decide to shift over, like, my channel would just die for some reason. And it was just, part of it is motivation. Part of it is trusting yourself and understanding how things work. But at the end of the day, it's also understanding that there's a community around you. It's not just you. You're never just by yourself. You know, yourself, Edabong, Saf, you know, Miriam, just a lot of big creators that are there, and it is a community. And I've been lucky enough that I've had enough interactions with everybody, and people know who I am and they understand who I am. It's not just, you know, that guy from the channel. They've seen me, they've worked. So I appreciate what they do, and I appreciate what you do, because if I can't do what you do, the deep dives that you do on your channel with the audio, with the camera, not that I don't want to spend time for it, but at the end of the day, I look at it as realistically, let's say this, I'll do what I do best. And if that complements what you do best, at the end of the day, the consumer benefits, because we're both covering the product that they love, and they're getting the story in the slices that they enjoy. I don't need to do a full deep dive on the audio for the Xperia 1 Mark II, because you did that, and I always just had to explain. It is a collaborative effort. We're not competing with each other, even though we have different channels, and obviously we want our channels to succeed.
Absolutely.
It is a collaboration. It's a discussion. It's a conversation. So for me, I value those relationships, and it's been helping me. So that's the pivot that helped me at the beginning of the year.
And you know, like I said, alongside other content creators, I'm sure it's there's something really freeing about coming to a community where it really does feel like a community, not I am the singular authoritative voice of this YouTube channel, and you shall tell me how wonderful I am down in the comments. It really does. I mean, like, you know, engaging, participating, where it doesn't feel like I'm finishing the conversation with the video. It feels like I'm posting a forum post, and then the conversation continues from the beginning of my forum post, takes all the pressure off. I mean, as soon as I shifted from that pocket now mentality back to I'm leading a discussion, but I'm not the only voice in this discussion. It was so it was liberating. It was so freeing.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, definitely. And like I said, it's organic. It's an organic transfer that it happened on its own. And I was lucky enough to see it grow and just sit in the background. And I was able to. Finally, you know, start kind of joining the conversation and being part of it. And like, I feel it just like when we hang out and we're chit chatting and stuff, it's easy. You could see that we're actually enjoying our own time, and people feed off of it and they're able to jump in. So to me, it's definitely not enough good things I can say about this. Very nice. And if you're able to join the conversation, you know, you need to make sure to check out the, you know, the Patreon over for Juan Carlos. It's a great collection of direct posts. And I'm not trying to plug it. I'm not trying to plug you on your own show, but it is truly, it is a value that I actually look forward to on a weekly basis. Like the creator talks that you have right now, obviously I'm on one of them, but I look forward to getting those notifications straight into my email. You know, like, you know, this post has been put on, the videos that you're posting and stuff like that. So to me, it's a good way to collaborate. But it's also a great way to learn also, because, you know, I can get inspired from an idea that you're working that I can put together maybe a different video on my channel or something to that effect. But again, leverage what you're doing as opposed to try to replicate it. It works so much easier on my end. Because if I do a gaming phone or gaming review on a phone and stuff like that, and you're doing the deep dive on the audio between the two of us, you're getting a much better picture of what's going on.
Yeah. I mean, and again, I think it does show when, not by any grand design. It's not like we've got a production schedule and we've got, Slack running in the background or anything like that. But it really has kind of become, through having some of these more organic conversations, where our coverage really could be sort of puzzle piece.
A
little section here could slot in with another thing about me complaining over here, and then you're going to say something nice, and then I'll be snarky and start soapboxing. But along with that, I really feel, I think I already know what the answer to this question is going to be, but
it's 54.
See, done. It's like we're wavelength right there. Just done. Boom. Mic drop.
See you guys next week. Bye.
Tip your waiter. No, it would seem to me that what you were describing at Pocket Now, we have I'm not a part of them. I really don't collaborate with them at all anymore. But you would have to think about the Pocket Now presentation, how the phone is scored, ranked, what gadgets, the reviews, everything. It sort of had to have a singular identity behind it. I have to believe that as people have been discovering your channel, maybe following you from XDA, maybe discovering you fresh all on your own, your new approach of smaller, punchier feature videos, wrap up conclusion videos, reviews, this more modular approach, it has to be better for continuing
Absolutely.
Conversation.
It is. And I feel like it helps just tell the story, because my style was always very much detail. I like to go into the details of the video. So it's, and I've tried in the past to do the cinematic view or the more B-roll heavy kind of, and it's doable. I learned that from Jaime. I got a chance to work a little bit with Jaime at IFA for a couple of years ago. And I realize that it is a style. I realize it, but I feel like my conversation isn't done, right? Like, I don't feel like I'm saying what I want to say about device X or whatever that I'm covering. It's more of a quick bullet. It was like a quick snippet, and I feel like I need to continue it somewhere else. But then I lost the viewer. It's better this way for me when I do videos like that. Like, I did the same thing last year with the S10. Mm-hmm. I know it may have seemed like I ended up turning my channel into a Galaxy channel, but I felt like it was, for the amount of excitement that people had around the phone, I didn't feel like I gave it enough justice by just doing one unboxing and one review video. And those are the things that I like to do. And I appreciate that. But like an example, like, everybody now is kind of done talking about the Red Magic 5G. They know what it is. They've covered everything. But I called out to Nubia and I said, do you have accessories for this phone?
Yeah.
What are the other things that you sell for this phone that people could get and benefit from it? And then, yes, they sent me. I mean, obviously you guys can't see it on the podcast, but they sent me the controller, an extra case, the additional charger, so things that kind of help the story and what you enjoy, because the device is only one part of the ecosystem. So I like to do that, covering the extra features. And then, now that I'm also part of the Amazon thing too, that kind of helps out a little bit too, because I'm able to convey to a whole new, group of people over on Amazon that has a much bigger audience. So it's coming along, and I'm happy with where it's going. Let's put it that way. It's a good place for it to go. It's challenging, but it is challenging for me. It comes back to, I'm benefiting from everything. And like I said, if the once in a while coverage on video on XDA, I think it always just kind of reinforces that's the heritage. That's where I came from. Oh, that's where the community knows me.
I've always found it very, very interesting. Like, I had that conversation with Daniel Bader a couple of weeks back, where there are pros and cons. Like, I would love to have the infrastructure of a major publication backing up my work. And, maybe I'm on a payroll. I'm not as beholden to YouTube ad metrics directly if I've negotiated a contract, blah, 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 blah. But it's also so much more difficult to try and anticipate or try and contribute to what is the publication's opinion of this phone, because we have to sort of agree. You know what I mean? Okay. Like, It's always fun to do sort of an internal, like we would do sort of a counterpoint review every now and then, like one editor felt really strongly about this and I felt very strongly about that, and we can kind of have, but ultimately we still have to sort of arrive at what the global opinion is for this
opinion
album.
And I,
like, getting back to just being me again felt like, no, if I want to get stupid granular about something, or if I want to spend 5 minutes at the end of a review talking about like market conditions for 5G and zip codes, if I feel like that's what this needs for the discussion, I can do it. It's been really exciting watching you come to that flavor on your own channel. Again, not to get too precious with it, but it's like, I feel like those of us who have been fans of yours are all finally seeing that you see the TK that we always saw.
Like I said, I started the conversation ahead of everything else. I said, I finally realized what you said. It's hard to see yourself from the outside. It's a very hard view. Very few people are able to separate themselves from the personality or the persona that they put out. But for me, it was more because I felt like it was my baby for a while. You know what I mean? Like I felt like I had control over it. I felt like this is maybe something I can change. I can do some more, I can build it up and make it even more. And it did. I mean, it was working for a while. I mean, I'm not saying that it didn't succeed. Obviously I did it for a year and a half. It wouldn't have gone for a year and a half if I wasn't able to manage the channel. I mean, what ended up being the challenge for me at the end, as I said, it was a few conversations, around CES and Unpacked that heavily shifted my understanding of how I was viewed. And once that became clear, the conversation kind of shifted heavily. So I'm like, okay, I realized I'd like to step back now. Well, I'll see you. Yeah.
And also, I mean, like, because I'm sure it's not like I'm trying to get people to like, give me the dirt, air your dirty laundry here on my podcast, but
that's the after hours podcast, man.
Yeah,
come on,
right.
Let's talk about
it's like
this.
Some gadget
legit
guy
stuff. See
creator
after
chat
dark.
After dark.
To dark.
After we're gonna dark. Make yeah. the title of this podcast ridiculous. So I mean, again, what this is going to be really clumsy, and tell me if I'm a little off base here, but I was getting the sensation as we were getting into the end of 2019, a lot of outlets were having this kind of existential crisis. How much effort do we put into YouTube? How do we replace ad revenue? Are we looking at affiliate marketing? Are we looking at, I mean, Daniel Bader was very forthright with his conversations talking about Android Central. When the largest conglomerate of tech blogs on the web today are having the same kinds of struggle conversations about things like monetizing and content and production as we are at the ground level on much, much smaller platforms. It speaks to a culture of some kind of change or of some kind of existential crisis. And it seems to me like that kind of dovetailed right into your experiences with XDA. You know, not like I'm trying to make it sound like, oh, XDA wasn't treating you right. It seems to me like so many outlets that we used to write for just didn't know what they were supposed to be anymore. You know, like XDA on YouTube is a completely different conversation than XDA forums.
Absolutely. And that was the biggest change that we really ran our own channel. It wasn't, we started off as
it feels like two separate entities. Yeah.
My initial start with XDA back in the day, I mean, one of my main things I used to do was the five favorite apps off the portal. It was the favorite apps that are supported by communities. And one of the requirements for those was you had to have a forum. You had to have a post in there, and you had open communication with the users for them to even make it in the video. Expose modules, development, ROM reviews, modding, rooting. That's how I started on XDA. That's why everybody, even the Arabic community that knows of me, they found me because of that. When they, it's like, TK, you're the guy, I rooted my phone the way you should. Like,
I have literally seen those interactions where I don't understand the language you're speaking, but I think I know what you're talking about.
And it is very much a but again, to find out that even native, like, because there was also a big factor is that nobody knew that I spoke Arabic till about 4 years ago. Mm. Like a lot of people, it was TK Bay always for, but like I said, it's like one of my buddies, like, you speak Arabic and you don't have an Arabic channel. How does that make sense? I'm like, so the conversation changed as time went on. We tried to pivot. Like I said, there was a time where the conversation was trying to be pivoted into more comedic satire type of videos and so on the channel. And
why
that to me was like, I can't do that.
Try to do that. I mean, I was at Pocket Now for 6 months and we tried to bring on a stand-up comedian and like, why does every channel want to make that jump? I don't understand.
But who wants to watch their tech in a comedic style? Like, is it not entertaining enough? I mean, if you're not interested in the tech, just switch the channel. Don't worry about the comedy. But when that became a very big part of it, I did step away. I said, I'm sorry. I cannot. This is not me. I'm not going to crack jokes, and I'm not going to be in that same. It doesn't align. I don't want to be associated with that type of conversation, because if I'm in that conversation, then by default I'm in it, even if I'm not saying it. And then when the conversation kind of came around, when they realized that wasn't the right direction they wanted to go with, they came back and they, you know, hey, we'd like to go back and bring it. You could do your style, do your thing. We're not trying to change. I told them, when I started with you at 200,000 subscribers, we didn't go to 600 to 500 because I was doing pan shots. It's because of the head down, do the tech, talk about what you need to do. And that's what people came to XDA for. But now if you watch the channel, we rarely ever do any more modding videos. That's not even a conversation we have. We do talk about development in some of the videos depending on what the coverage is. But in general, no. It's pretty much, I feel like we're becoming more mainstream coverage.
Yeah.
And not that that's a problem. But again, we are a developer-based community.
Yeah.
So the viewers or the people that are in the forums have right now no reason to go to the YouTube site. They get everything they want out of the forums. And we also had a much better integration back in when I started between the YouTube and the website. We actually used to be featured in the website.
Mm-hmm.
We are no longer there, which again reinforces the two separate entities. I think a lot of people were burning out at the end of 2019. 2019 was a tough year too. It had its challenges, but it was tough.
Hey folks, are you getting bored of the current collection of tech and geek commentary on the internet? Is the discussion of new electronics feeling a bit stale? Do you want to find some fresh voices to add to your subscription queue? Check out the community on rglowingrectangles on Reddit. Now, this subreddit was built to help new voices in the tech community find more audience, and we need your support. Sharing, commenting, and those precious, tasty upvotes. Reddit can radically help a content creator expand their reach. Do you know a producer who deserves more attention? Do you just want to find fun new stuff? Head on over to reddit.com/r/glowingrectangles and share or browse to your heart's content. Once again, reddit.com/r/glowingrectangles, and let's build something cool together.
It really sounds, again, it really sounds like your timing was right on the pulse. Again, we weren't counting on global pandemic. But that your timing was right on the pulse of kind of a sea change that a number of us were facing in the industry. And that also kind of dovetailed with some additional outside market pressures. For me personally, it was, how do I disentangle myself from everything being YouTube? Like, YouTube can't be in complete control of my entire destiny. And for you, a part of this looks like it's finding other opportunities and platforms to jump onto. You mentioned it briefly. I'd like to spend a little time talking about it. Your experiences with Amazon. I had this really aggressive conversation with one of my viewers where obviously I could never be considered objective. I have affiliate links, so I profit off of talking about these things. I kind of feel like affiliate marketing is actually one of the safer opportunities for us to still maintain some kind of editorial objectivity. What have your experiences been now partnering with Amazon to do these types of live streams?
So for me, because the ecosystems are slightly separate from each other, I was surprised actually by the end of 2019 that Amazon even reached out to me. It wasn't me seeking out the influencer program
because
we didn't even exist.
I love this, you know, like TK so mad is like, oh, I'm surprised they reached out to me. And like, I've been telling you for the last year, companies are going to reach out to me.
But it was, to me, the big part of it at the time when they reached out, it was a very big, like, is this real? Is this realistic? Because there wasn't really, the Amazon Live ecosystem was already there, but it was mostly focused on companies selling their own stuff. So it was, you had to be a seller to be able to even be part of the live system. And they reached out to me and I was like surprised that, okay, you're interested. And I'm like, okay. And then we start talking a little bit more. I realized at the time that I started realizing some deficiencies in my setup, in my current equipment. Let's just say this. I wasn't equipped to do live streams. My live stream, and if you guys have seen some of my older live stream, even when I think was on the last Creator Talk, I was on the monitor, right there behind me on that monitor using a webcam, not using my main cameras and so on. So there was a whole shift. And at the end of the day, when we start talking about supporting the channel, supporting your creators, obviously we need some type of monetary to be able to keep the channel going. If there was no monetary coming in, it would be very hard for us on our end to be able to invest back in. So for me to upgrade the audio equipment, you know, the audio setup that we have right here is not a cheap piece of hardware. I mean, we're talking about an audio interface. We're talking about a cloud lifter, an arm, a mic, a cable, everything. This is close to $300 to $400 worth of hardware that your average user, your average content creator that does not have monetization or able to support with some type of affiliate links would not feel comfortable putting in that money in there. And then you don't have them as part of the conversation. So I don't see affiliate links as something that hinders our conversation or makes us basically biased to one and over the other. Mm-hmm. I don't advertise for my links. I say for more information, it's available in the description. You as the viewer need to personally decide to go open that and follow that link if you'd like to. And to me, that's the extent of what I try. Is it the main source of my income? No. The conversation on Amazon and working with Amazon now, they're also changing their ecosystem again. They're starting to promote us more, which means they're actually like, if I'm doing a live stream on, you know, this microphone right now, if I'm sitting there and my live stream will go live on that page of the product at that time. So that to me is support. That's something that I didn't have when I started back in January with that first few live streams. And I feel like that's a good way. It's a good way to bring in the conversation. I feel like bringing YouTube creators over to Amazon is better than having paid content posted on Amazon. Yeah. And we've had that conversation with Amazon for years where people have already said like, you know, these reviews on Amazon are fake and they're paid and, or these are, you know, dummy accounts and they're just posting. No, if I'm doing a video for you guys on Amazon, I'm giving you the pros and cons the same way I would do it in my video. Mm-hmm. It's long form. That's absolutely true. It's a very different style of videos, which I did need to learn to get comfortable with. Because like, you know, our conversations right now are very dynamic. There's a back and give and forth. But by yourself making a presentation with no audience interface input for an hour is like, how do I do this?
It's a little trickier.
It is. But I like the conversation with Amazon. I like the fact that I'm able to bring my personal point of view with them. There are some rules, as you can expect. You know, certain things that you can't, you can't specifically drive traffic away from Amazon. That's a different conversation, even if you do have your own affiliate conversation. So you are essentially giving them the video. You're no longer owner of that content. Mm-hmm. That was also something that I needed to get comfortable with. But I'm lucky that I'm able to be part of it. And I feel like it's a good conversation to have, especially when you have some friends that come in. You can talk to people, some new, you know, you can discover new people as well. People can discover you. They don't discourage you advertising or announcing who you are. Right. So for me, I always started off by saying, you know, TK Bay from YouTube. You'd like to check me out? Here you go. And, you know, obviously I need to figure out how to fix my TK DSL 8655 because it's just impossible to find me there. TKDSL 8655, man.
Sure it was very clever when you came up with that Twitter handle.
It was, and it was an amazing user ID back in the day.
DSL.
When I had DSL. Who has DSL? It was a very, I'm happy that I was able to get it going. And now I'm actually even, I'm trying to shoot for like two live streams a week, which so now I'm like Monday, Thursdays are Amazon. Saturday is YouTube. And then I'm trying to keep it so that I at least have two YouTube videos a week. So basically three posts of YouTube content spaced out. and Amazon sprinkled in there. And I do have a few more projects that I'm working on in the background that I'm trying to hopefully they'll come to fruition. But yeah, and then working with other companies. That's the other thing. Now we have more phones than what we know to do with.
And I'm getting more bumper. I don't know if you watch Jeff Cannata's DLC, or you're sorry, not watch, listen to Jeff Cannata's DLC. They've got this stinger for too many games. Get into summer and all these games get released and they're game reviewers, so they've got to play all of these games.
Yeah, how do you? What point do you live?
And you're like, I need to come up with a too many phones. every time we talk about it, you need to push a button and a chorus of people singing about too many phones will pop up.
Doesn't even have to be a chorus, man. Record your own voice, multiply it, add a little bit of sound to it. Come on,
a little reverb.
Too many phones. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I want to wrap this up. Just kind of get us into concluding this. One of the things that I think is so much fun. Coming back to this conversation 100 episodes of my podcast later was I went back and listened to your advice to creators from your first appearances on a creator chat. And very, very thoughtful and heartfelt pieces of advice. If someone came to you and they were really interested in this, and your advice is exactly what you've been living for this last year. It was talking about, well, you need to find your passion. You need to make sure you're contributing, be inspired by other people, but try to find your own unique voice. And it was like, I was listening back to that podcast going like, that's exactly what he kind of figured out on his Arabic speaking channel. That's exactly the interaction that he had with XDA and sort of shifting his responsibilities with XDA. That's exactly what he's doing now working with Amazon. It was so pitch perfect, just so inspiring. So often someone can throw out advice. Everyone has advice, but to get it from someone who's literally been contributing, producing, directing, and managing their own content like that was really exciting. I mean, it was like I got kind of goosebumps. I got chills. Like, TK delivers the truth. He's living this right now in real time.
It took me a few times of going around and appreciating. Like I said, it's the people that you help or the people that are around you that help you also appreciate things. Like I said, a few times you and I have had conversations. We sit down. I've sat down with Josh and I've talked to him as well with Edabong and all this. It took some conversation and it was a very hard, I was on a very hard path. Let's put it that way. I was a very direct path that I felt very hard to get out of. It's because it just, you get used to it.
Yeah.
And
the unknown can be really intimidating. Just not knowing what it's going to look like.
But at the end of the year, I was just, when you get that feeling, when you get that emotional stress level to the point where you just don't want to do anything and it's affecting your personal life, you have to kind of, either do a pivot or just shut it down. This is not worth it. So for me, like I said, having you close or nearby for conversation, or even the fact that, we've become more collaborative over the years and so on, it worked really good. It is literally about putting in the work and also be open to other people's perspective, because at the end of the day, like I said, it's hard for us to see ourselves from the outside. It is very hard. We are very much in the cockpit. We're driving the car. We're going in at 100 miles an hour. It's hard for us to see how bad things are. So a few things changed, conversations, and I'm not going to deny also the fact that my wife and I have had quite a few conversations as well.
Yeah,
she's also noticed, it's hard. Like, that it's hard. There's a whole bunch of things going on, but
well, and especially
my
recently,
hope is that we're getting it better.
Cause I've been talking about this, like not to share, the inner workings of my family and not like I'm expecting you to kind of give me your Dr. Phil moment here on the couch for my podcast. But this pandemic has also been very eye-opening for her.
Oh yeah.
She works in a more office kind of collaborative environment. And, you know, it's normal. You get up, you stretch your legs, you head to the little kitchen or the cantina and you grab like a snack bar, you poke your head in, you talk with your boss for a little bit. Where, you know, now that she's been working from home, she sees like, I come in here into my office and I'm writing, emailing, social media, shooting, editing, you know, putting up thumbnails. I mean, like, my day from waking up to going to bed is focused on this. And that, you know, like, I'm trying to be present now that Lex is home as well. And I'm trying to, to modify my work routine. But that also means like, I am not getting my work done with the same follow through that I was
There's
able
a big,
to.
Big adjustment.
And yeah. It's huge. And so like, again, it's been in the worst way possible for having a global pandemic. It's also been a little enlightening. You know, like I see what, Marie, what her workflow is like. We finally got her set up with a good workspace. She sees what my work is like. And then we're also both there to try and make sure that we're staying present for our daughter.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't have wished for the conditions to bring that around, but better understanding is always healthier for a relationship than sort of trying to fly that stuff under the radar.
No, absolutely. It's a big shift for everybody. And like, I think we mentioned it at the beginning, it's the fact that to me, this used to be a creative space. I came here to make videos and I left it when I was done making videos. Now it's my creative, my day job, my day taking care of things that, you know, what I normally used to do, kind of like what Marie does, where I worked in a building, you know, in an office building. So, I've gotten a lot closer with my wife, which is very appreciative. I love that fact. She had to adjust a little bit because she's more of an outdoors person as well. So that's her job was more outdoors and more mobile than it is stationary. So that was an adjustment as well. And having our son, having our 10-year-old son with us all day long, having to figure out things to do. And I'm with you. I don't think I would have wished for this scenario to make it happen, but I'm kind of happy with the fact that I get to see him in the morning, at night, in the afternoon. We hang out, we go play. I'm able to put this on hold when I want to walk out and take care of it and come back in. Those are things that we can't do normally. And we'll have to see what the new normal is, what the new scenario is going to be. But hopefully, you know, better things. And at some point we'll figure out what the future is going to be for us. But the goal is for us to stay vigilant and be connected. So I always say that to everybody at the end of my, you know, the live stream, just be good, be nice, call your friends, call your family. You know,
check
just
in.
Connect.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Even if you just call and say hello, it means so much than to just, you know, feel like you're not part of the story. You're not, you know, in the picture.
And if you're watching videos like ours, we know you've got good phones, so you don't have any excuse. I think that was such a beautiful sentiment to wrap up on. Let's go ahead and put a pin in it here. And I have to have you back sooner than another 100 episodes of my podcast.
I hope so. Yeah. Cause I was like, that's a long time,
really,
man.
Is.
How long I've been waiting.
It's
a lot of time
sitting there by the phone, just pining. And you're like, I didn't realize I'd put it off that long, but what, I let you go, what are some things, again, I'm going to tease, go check episode 58. I usually end these with like, what's your advice to a creator? If you're listening to this and you want to hear TK's advice, know that he's been living it. Go check the end of episode 58 of the SDG QA podcast. What are some things that you are coming to the channel to think? Because we both have a few things we can't talk about right now.
Yes.
But what are some things you're looking forward to? What are some coverage that you want to share with folks to go check you out?
So for some, there's a few new things coming out next week on the channel. I'm actually kind of excited a little bit to check out something. Honor's sending me the Honor 30 Pro Plus.
Nice.
That was actually in a small, funny story about this. If you've ever had a mail problem issue in the world, so I was supposed to get this device a week ago. My device took a round trip to Honduras.
Nice.
That's how far it went. And now it's stuck in Honduras. So now they're sending me a different one. Coverage a little bit more, you know, kind of closing my roundup on the Red Magic 5G before I send that one back. I am hoping at some point we'll be able to bring back the, you know, Mark II. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we'll be able to bring that back in the office.
Same.
Surprise. I don't know if you saw that it's actually selling right now in Europe.
Yeah.
How did that...
The regions...
Like the purple one even.
So Sony, for me, it's like Sony's in a very similar conversation as LG, where their regional distribution strategy is very varied and very confusing to follow. So I know we're supposed to be getting it here in the US in July, but I'm already hearing some folks... I'm already hearing some folks that have been like, well, I imported it. And you're like, cool.
I've had comments on my video saying, I love this phone. I'm happy. I'm like, how did you get it?
Yeah, the Xperia subreddit has a whole bunch of people unboxing their phones now. And you're like, wait, how?
Yeah. So Northern Europe, the Nordic land of some sort, they got the purple and the black one. Not only did they get the black one, they get the purple one. People are starting to get their devices, which is super exciting, which I'm very happy. I'm going to say this really, I'm really, really happy that you and I had the devices on day one, that we were able to start the conversation the right way without getting it too, I'm not saying muddied, but I'm saying it's more the, you know, like when there's just so much content that you're, when you're looking for the right content, our stuff usually won't get the exposure because I appreciate the content. I really say, I'm not going to say anything against it. I don't want to make it sound like I'm not appreciative of the other creators. But I realized that their voice is so broad and so loud in that space that if you are looking for content like ours, generally we don't get the voice that we did, which I was really, really lucky. Very happy that we were able to be part of that conversation and Sony was entrusting us to be part of that conversation. So that was very nice. So yes, hopefully the Sony Mark, I'm trying to see if I can get my hands on the purple one. That it's either the purple or the white one. Nothing's wrong with the standard black color, but
no, there's something wrong. I actually had to share, like, it is impossible to take video of that when you're outside because it's such a
absolutely. I got my first white phone. This is the P40.
It's nice,
Pro,
right?
Plus. Oh my god, it's so nice. Yeah. It is so refreshing. And then because of that, I started using white cases.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm not trying to copy each other, but you know, the S20 Ultra and the P40 Pro Plus. But short answer is, I feel like, you know, we need to start getting a little bit more than the standard just rectangle in black. We need more colors. And I feel like Sony, hopefully, my hope is this. If Sony is watching, please, 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 we want the white one and the purple one in the US as well as the black one. Just give us colors. Give us the options. Short answer, I'm rounding up my conversation with the Red Magic 5G. I do have the Honor 30 Pro Plus titles are too long. So the Honor 30, the P40, the new P40. And I want to start also, I mentioned to you that the Pocophone F2 Pro, that was also something that was really exciting for me. I'd like to be able to check that. So hopefully that one's coming in next week. So I kind of need to kind of stagger things up and start building, and then I want to see what you do with the Black Shark. Cause that one, for me, Xiaomi's focus on that is pure gaming. Mm-hmm. So it's truly like the design from the feel, it just feels nice and cold. Anyways, that's the stuff that I'm currently in the near term. And of course, some good embargoed stuff for next week. Middle of next week, you'll hear from us.
I think it'll be live when the audio version of this podcast goes out. I think we'll be off embargo, but we shouldn't say anything right now, just in case we do something silly.
Just look. Dude, when I got the Xperia the day before the podcast one time, and I had the phone with me, but I couldn't talk about it because the embargo was the Sunday, not the Saturday. But people were figuring it out. I was like dropping massive hints on that and that left. But yeah, no, it's
fun when you can kind of play that game. But again, this we'll be careful. We won't do anything too silly. TK, thank you so much for joining, for jumping in, and as always, when we're able to and stuff is really properly opening, we've got a ramen date that we need to hook up again.
I really hope they do open up again in July. They closed for June.
Yeah.
I'm worried about them,
crossing fingers here because we need to make that happen. But again, I'm glad to hear you and the family are doing well, and I hope you all stay safe, stay happy, stay healthy.
Well, you guys as well.
And thank you. I appreciate that.
100 podcasts later, and TK has actually been living the advice he gave in our first conversation. I think I owe him a ramen run when our favorite noodle shop reopens. And a huge thank you to all of you listening, subscribing, and sharing this podcast. If you would like to help support the production of more conversations like these, please head on over to somegadgetguide.com, where you'll find a support banner, and that's where I keep all of my current partnerships and affiliates. including my Patreon, where patrons get ad-free versions of every show. And reviewing the show on your favorite podcasting service is always greatly appreciated. You know where you can find me around the rest of the internet, at Some Gadget Guy on the Twitters and the Twitch, and the Facebooks and the Instagrams. And I will catch you all on the next podcast. Recording voiceover, spoken word, is truly one of my favorite activities. My second favorite hobby is photography. Now, the smartphone might be making us deaf, but we can't deny the awesome power of the phone as a platform for photography and multimedia creation. If you've been looking to improve your mobile photog skills, if you want to produce more professional content, or you're just looking to take your family photos to the next level, I wrote a book to help you out with that. Take Better Photos, Smartphone Photography for Noobs is available on Amazon Kindle, walking through the basic terminology of photography, covering the settings on your camera, discussing composition and inspiration, and I even include a long list of exercises and challenges to really hone your skills, all with some helpful example photos and diagrams. Search for Take Better Photos, Smartphone Photography for Noobs on Amazon, or use the quick link bit.ly/betterphotosbook to grab your copy today.